Chris Miller is a Wizards reporter and insider for NBC Sports Washington, and he joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Chris, thanks so much for joining us today. Very simple question. I was in the Wizards locker room after the game, and you know, it was pretty clear that there was kind of a frustration there. And as I said, it's you shut down Kyle, you shut down DeMar, you sort of expect to win. You sort of expect to win games. I mean, in the past, frankly, it would have been enough to win a game going away against these guys. What do the Wizards have to do in game two to make this series even?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. I would say limit C.J. Miles, because they knew that every time he touched the basketball beyond 23 feet, he was going to shoot it. Mm-hmm. And he shot it extremely well. That's one. Two, I think the Fred VanVleet being out of the lineup, at least from my perspective, I think DeLon Wright is talented enough to give them some production. I just didn't think it'd be 18-point production. And let alone the turnovers, there were 14 of them. The Raptors were able to convert 20 points off of those. So if you look at it from the Wizards' standpoint, if they could limit their turnovers and actually get out and guard somebody from the three-point line, then they feel like they could have came in here and took game one. But that wasn't the case.
Is their bench deep enough to handle the Raptors' bench?
I would say right now, after looking at game one, probably not. Mm-hmm. Because Toronto had six players come off the bench. The Wizards, I don't think we're expecting that. Dwayne Casey really can just look down his bench and really put anybody in there. I mean, Lucas Nogueira came in there and gave you guys some really good production. So I would say right now, if Kelly Oubre doesn't play well and Mike Scott not play well and Jan Mahimi only playing 2 minutes and 36 seconds, that's not a recipe, I think, for Washington to win on Tuesday. But I have a feeling the adjustment will be made in terms of just trying to figure out a way to not get your bigs to get two fouls, both of them, within the first 4 to 5 minutes of the game. I mean, Gortat got a foul on the opening tip. I mean, that was just bizarre.
You know what? Did anybody ask him about that? Because, Chris, look, I haven't watched as much basketball as a lot of people, but I've watched enough. And if I've seen that happen before, it was a long, long time ago. And it's probably watching a high school game someplace where, you know, right, a guy who was 7'1" was jumping off against a guy who was 5'9" or something like that and just kind of fell into him.
Well, your listeners will get a kick out of this. This is actually the second time that Gortat's done it this year. He did it.
Really?
Andre Jordan. Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting. I asked him because, you know, I'm with the team every day. And I remembered, you know, the Clipper game in Los Angeles when he did it. And he said, well, to be honest with you, Chris, I did this one was on accident. The one I did in Los Angeles, I did that one on purpose. I mean, he just literally just put himself out there. It was like, yeah, I did the one in LA on purpose. This one was just kind of like a free thing. My arm went up. It grabbed his arm. They called the foul. But there was just a lot of those weird things, like loose balls would just end up being in the Raptors' hands. They would shoot it. Anytime the Wizards were trying to make a run, I just thought Toronto just had really all the juice, and it really started with the leaky roof to start the game. I mean, mm-hmm. Before the opening tip, there's a leaky roof, and I'm just like, well, can it get any worse to start? So you get the leaky roof. You get the foul on the opening tip. And you're just like, okay, what next? And then, obviously, the DeLon Wright playing well, C.J. Miles playing well. And you think if you can hold Lowry and DeRozan to 28 points, you think you give yourself a chance, right?
Oh, yeah.
But it was all these other guys. And, oh, by the way, add Serge Ibaka's play. So I think there's a lot of adjustments that the Wizards will make. But I think the two primary ones is three-point defense and their turnovers.
Mm-hmm. Hey, tell me a little bit about the relationship between John Wall and the rest of his team. I mean, there was that, you know, we saw a little thing earlier in the year where I think it was Marcin Gortat mentioned when Wall was out of the lineup that, you know, how did he word it? I mean, you know, basically that there was a little more ball distribution going to some of the other players, and I would presume including himself. What is that relationship like? Because John Wall clearly is the big dog in that team, right?
Yeah, I would say the relationship is, I call them two the odd couple. Like if they could get it like a reality show, mm-hmm. they would be like the newest form of the odd couple. But for some reason, they make it work once they get on the court. They have a lot of nonverbal cues with one another in terms of like picking and just plays between the two of them that it just works. But if you think they're going to be sharing Christmas dinner together, that's not going to happen. But I think that they have a good working relationship. Again, they've been together for so long that, you know, I just call it like an old married couple. You know, sometimes they fuss and argue with one another, but, you know, it works once they get on the court. So I think when March tweeted that out, I think, you know, obviously everyone picked it up and was like, whoa, what's that? That's a red flag. But, you know, they've kind of been chirping at one another really, you know, 3-4 years ago. Mm-hmm. But it's a relationship that just seems to work once they get on the floor.
You've been around this team an awful lot. What will tell you tonight that they're engaged and that there's a chance that the outcome will be different? What are some things you'll be looking for? I'm sorry, well, tomorrow night, pardon me.
Yeah, I'm looking for pace. If the Wizards can get out and run and kind of establish that side of the floor, that will tell me that they're engaged offensively. Defensively, I just feel like staying in front of your man and not waiting so much or relying on help defense so much. It's interesting when the Wizards defend, and this has kind of just been like their MO all year. When they defend at a high level, all of a sudden the offense just flows. Everyone gets a touch and it just seems like, you know, the starting five has double figure points and they'll get one or two guys off the bench that will also score double figures. But more times than not, it's predicated on them getting stops. So with me, it's on the defensive end always with them. And I think with this series with Toronto, they've got to rebound the basketball. I mean, they only lost the rebound battle by 3 in game 1. Mm-hmm. And considering the fact that both of their bigs were in foul trouble, the fact that Mike Scott at some time during that game had to play the 5 position, I think if they can rebound the ball and defend at a high level, I think they'll even the series going back to Washington.